Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Trueblood. John Paul.
Yo.
How's it going?
It's going well. I'm excited about this podcast.
Yeah. I'm excited too because we have the one, the only Jeff Pratt in
Jeff
the studio.
Jeff Pratt.
Back after 2 years.
We haven't even been podcasting 2 years. We just had our 1 year anniversary.
We did.
Back after one year.
Jeff's joining us today. If you have not met Jeff before, Jeff leads our camp and event team here at Lifeway Students. Tell them how long you've been in ministry and kind of what you're doing now in addition to what you do at Lifeway.
Yeah, I've been in ministry about 30 years and been at Lifeway for 11. So those 11 years, I've worked both in publishing and in events.
Yeah.
But feel like I've settled in events now, so glad to be here.
Yeah. And you serve locally in a church in addition to your role here.
I do. I am a teaching pastor at Journey Church with Eric Reed.
Very nice. So, and you like oversee everything over there.
Oversee student ministry, kids ministry, and staff development.
Yeah. The whole deal.
Yeah, exactly.
So
have you created a leadership pipeline for the Journey Church?
We actually have. Working on that. We're working on execution plans right now for staff and then working on leadership pipeline.
Execution nice. Plan execution plans like these are the ones we got to get out of here?
No, no. This is what you're going to do next year.
Nice. Yeah. I like
if you don't make the cut at Journey, you're not just let go.
That's right.
You're execution.
Yes.
Like we said, we're excited about the topic we have for you today. But before we get into it, I want to give you the not-so-subtle reminder to head over to iTunes, leave that positive rating and review.
Did you see that coming?
We would love to hear from you and how you like the podcast, what we could do better. Give us your feedback, but head over there, leave a rating and review on iTunes so that other student ministry leaders can find the podcast too. It helps with search engine stuff and all those technical things. But basically, it works like this. When you say, hey, this podcast is good, and you give 5 stars, then other student ministry leaders benefit from it too. They can find it easier. So do that. And we would be forever appreciative.
Forever?
Forever, ever.
Forever.
That's right.
And when I come back a year later from now, I will thank you.
So go ahead and give Jeff the digital good game on your review. So
that's
feel good about
that's
this
right.
Episode.
So today's podcast, we're going to be focusing on developing culture in your student ministry. Let's lay it out like this at the very beginning. We're going to assume some things and kind of build a foundation for you and then dive into the topic a little bit more deeply. So with developing culture in your student ministry, there are going to be some things that we're going to assume that you've already done. So understanding the culture of your community, understanding kind of the culture of your church, like especially if you're new at a church and you're coming in, before you make any sweeping changes, you need to understand your community. You need to understand the people of your church. So understand the current culture. If you're a church that already has stated mission, like this is who we are and this is what drives us, there are already stated values at your church. Get to know those things. And so before you get to the point where you can begin building a culture in your student ministry, you've got to understand the overall culture of the church, the overall culture in the community, the mission and the values of the church. Because as you've heard us talk about before on the podcast, what you're going to do from there is come in underneath the already stated mission and values of the church, the things that your senior pastor has laid out and said, this is who we are and this is what guides us as a church. You want to establish your mission and values in the student ministry underneath that. Like you are a supporting ministry of the senior pastor of the church. I mean, he is the person that has been put there by God to shepherd those people, and you come under his leadership. And so you've heard us talk before, like this is a conversation to have in the interview process.
Right.
So if God's called you to do ministry a certain way, which he probably has, he's put in your heart a way to do ministry. If you need to make sure that that meshes with the way that the senior pastor's leading.
Right. And don't go to a church if you have conflicting values.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to go there and change everything about that church because you're a superstar.
Right.
You know, normally what ends up happening is you get frustrated and you leave in a year and a half.
Yeah. And so the right and godly thing is to come under the authority God has already placed there. Let's chase one rabbit real quick, Jeff. I'd love your input on this. If you're at, like, say you missed that part in the interview process and you went to a new church, or maybe a new senior pastor has come in and you as the student pastor are the one that's been there a while, or something changes. The values change, the mission change, and there's no longer alignment the way that it was. So you as a student pastor are serving under a senior pastor that you're realizing, man, I'm not really, my heart for ministry doesn't really line up with the mission and values and direction that the senior pastor's taking the church. How do you handle that as someone who's under authority?
Yeah, I would say two things. Number one, obviously you've got to pray through that and you've got to be willing to pray through that. But secondly, if you can't align yourself with the values of the pastor, you've got to find someplace else to serve. You're not, if you stay there and you can't align yourself under the leadership of the pastor, all you're going to find yourself doing is warring with that pastor for the next however long you last.
Yeah.
And you're not going to win that battle, and you don't need to win that battle. I think that's, it doesn't even need to be a battle. I mean, you need to be able to submit yourself under the authority of that pastor. And if you can't, you've got to go.
Yeah.
And I would add to that, the word can't is something that you need to evaluate. If you're a student pastor in this position, you say, I just can't agree. I just can't align myself. A lot of times the word that student pastors should insert there is won't.
Yeah.
Or don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's
a good point.
More often than not, you can. There's not a huge theological difference. It's just you think you know better and you want to do it different.
Yeah.
Or you just want to do it different. And so I think there's a real evaluation that has to be done there. Is it really can't? Like, is there a theological, is there a moral issue? Is there a big deal issue there? Or are you maybe trying to die on a hill that's not worth it?
Yeah. Right. And I would say don't confuse values with methodology, because I think a lot of times somebody may come in and want to do something a different way, but it may not be a values clash. So be careful, evaluate what you're fighting for.
Yeah.
To make sure, because you may be in more of an agreement than you think, and it may be that God wants to refine and to change your way in view of ministry, and that's why he brought that leader for you to be under.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. So that's our little rabbit that we'll chase for just a second. And I think it's a worthy conversation, because anytime anyone talks about falling under the leadership of the pastor in developing your mission and values and developing your culture, I think that comes up a lot. There's people who always say, well, but there's so many things that are different between my pastor. I can't do it. And John Paul, I think you make a good point about the word can't. So remember that. So as we begin to talk about developing culture in your student ministry, remember you have to have an understanding of the culture of your community. Remember you have to have an understanding of the culture of the church. Who are the people? What are their traditions? What do they think? What do they believe? How do they act? All of those things go into the culture. And then the mission and values that your pastor has already set forth. Those are kind of the things that are the foundation of what brings you to the question of what's going to be my, as a student pastor, what are the things that are going to drive us? What is the mission and value? What are the values that we have in student ministry? And what's the mission that we have in student ministry? And again, like, it's okay for that to be exactly the same language as what you're using in the whole church. Like, maybe you can shift it a little bit to bring it into more of a student context, depending on what the language of those things are in your place. But for the most part, I would say the vast majority of the time, you need to use the same language that your pastor is going to be using from the stage. So with all that as the foundation, to kind of guide our conversation today, we're going to use three quotes about culture that you've probably heard before. And they get thrown around a lot. And so you've probably even heard some of them on the podcast. But I want to use three quotes that are familiar to you about culture. And then we want to talk about practical ways that these quotes can be implemented by you, that you can take them, understand what they mean in your specific context, and then begin to develop a healthy culture. Because here's the reality. When we talk about developing culture in your student ministry, you already have a culture. It already exists. We just need to figure out, is it a healthy one? Is it a growing one? Is it unhealthy? And what needs to happen? So the first of these quotes is by a guy named Plato.
I think I went to high school with that guy.
And he said, what you celebrate, you cultivate. meaning the things that you throw a party about are the things that people continue to do. So, you know, we could take that at an organizational level. And if it, when you lead a volunteer team or a staff team, the things that you celebrate in them, are they going to be the things that they continue to do? We can also take it to a student level. So let's take that one quote that you've probably heard before. What you celebrate, you cultivate. What you celebrate becomes more a part of the culture that you're trying to build. And let's talk about some practical things, celebration things, I guess, that student pastors can do in order to continue to cultivate a healthy culture.
Yeah, and I think kind of to start that conversation, I would say you need to understand the value of celebration.
Yeah, celebrate in general.
Yeah, and this is not just like be the fun guy and have a party, but being able to highlight because you have a constant eye on your values and your mission, being able to highlight to your leaders and your students that, hey, God is accomplishing these things through what we're doing here together, you know, is an important thing to highlight. And celebrating those things, I think a lot of times we, you know, maybe you put it in a bulletin, you know, or the pastor will say, hey, we had 5 students saved, you know, but a lot of times those are the only celebrations that you have. But as you see parts of that mission and parts of that vision flesh out in your culture and that momentum building, there's a lot of strategy behind saying, you know what, I'm going to celebrate this, not just to get everybody pumped up, but to continue to push what I want people to see the most value in as we're running together.
Yeah.
So you're not just celebrating to have a fun time, you know, and have a reason to order pizza. You're celebrating to drive home the values that you want to lift high.
Yeah, and I would say to that, you know, the two sides of that coin, what you want to cultivate, you need to celebrate.
Yeah.
You know, so the view is if someone were to come into your student ministry and hang out for a while, by what you celebrate, could they see what you value?
What you truly value.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what would end up happening would be, would that line up with what you say or what you've stated on a sheet of paper somewhere that you value? So if you value conversions, if you value those types of things, yet you're not celebrating those, then I would question whether or not you truly value that.
Yeah.
You're not going to cultivate that environment if you're not celebrating it.
So let's say you're looking at discipleship groups, which is, we see a lot of churches going to and adding another layer of discipleship in a D group or whatever you call it. But you've got one leader with 2, 3, 4 students, very small group, tight-knit, a lot of interaction, a lot of life-on-life engagements. If you want to cultivate that and lift high that discipleship culture, then what you're going to be doing is looking for stories where you can say, hey, this leader, Tim, just had a, you know, say we're in a volunteer meeting. This leader, Tim, just had a conversation with me and said, man, at our last D group meeting, this happened, you know, or I had all of my guys come to watch my boys play soccer and we hung out on the sideline and we got to talk about Jesus. And this is what came out of that. And you celebrate the excitement that Tim had that he reported to you as an encouragement to the rest of the leaders to have that same kind of experience. Like, and so that's doing a couple of things. One, it's saying, hey, you can do this too. Look how easy this was for Tim to accomplish this. Two, you're saying, man, I'm so proud of this leader. Good job. Well done, you know. And three, you're illustrating, hey, look at the work that God's doing because of what you're doing. You know, there's, and you could probably tease out a lot more implications, but that celebration's driving the value of that home.
Yeah, and just making it really practical. If, for example, if one of your value statements is we value volunteers,
yeah,
and you've said that, you've printed it, you've put it out, but yet throughout the year, you never have any time that you celebrate your volunteers. Like you don't have a volunteer banquet, you're not doing anything special for them. You may give them a $5 gift card to Starbucks at the end of the year nobody knows about. Well, you're not going to cultivate an environment or a culture of volunteer appreciation unless you're practicing that. You know, so the question would be, if any of us were to look at a value statement of a student ministry, one question we would want to ask is, how do you celebrate that?
Yeah.
If you say that's what you value, how do you celebrate that? Are you making a big deal about baptisms? You know, if that's something that you value, which we all should, then is that a big deal? You know, is it just once a quarter you're baptizing people and it's just kind of become regiment? or is there a celebration around that? Are there t-shirts printed? Are family involved? Is there a PowerPoint? You know, those types of things that I've seen in churches where they do it well. I mean, you can tell it's a big deal. It's very important to them. And I think that just catches fire, and that's what builds culture.
Yeah, I think too, like the difficult part about this is you'd think it would be easy, but I think stopping to celebrate is one of the most difficult things about building culture and about developing culture, is to stop the busyness and stop in the middle of everything that's going on and remembering, say, oh, okay, I need to do this. I need to take time out. I need to plan in these strategic moments to celebrate my volunteers, like you mentioned, Jeff, or to celebrate what's going on in a certain campus or students that have been doing something. Like, just remembering to stop and celebrate can be really difficult in the daily and weekly grind that is ministry.
Yeah, and I think another aspect of that celebration is just learning to make that a rhythm of what you do and the way that you speak too. So I think it's really important to, like you were saying, to have that, you know, almost like the event where you're saying, hey, just the spotlight's on you, volunteers. We love you. We appreciate you. You know, those moments are important. One of the things that I loved to do in our midweek services is brag on a volunteer to the students on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, that's great.
And especially if they're sitting in the back of the room, you know, that, hey, listen to what happened. This guy is such a stud. I got to tell you a story, you know, and have all the students cheer for them and, you know, tell them, hey, on your way out, I want you to go give them a hug. I want you to tell them thank you for what they do for, you know, for you guys. I think some of those things, like I was always looking for stories because that was such an injection of energy.
Yeah.
And into that experience when you could share those kind of things. So I think it takes a little bit of practice to get into that rhythm. But once you're in that rhythm, it can be one that just kind of carries through most of what you do.
Yeah. So you're talking to, you mentioned like a specific environment where you would celebrate, and like a Wednesday night, that would be in the normal course of what you're doing and just keeping in your mind, okay, how, anytime I hear a story, how can that story be related to the group of people that I'm about to be with? And so if you celebrate that way and you take that approach to it, then what are some other environments? Like you mentioned, celebrating a volunteer to the students, celebrating the students to the volunteers in a volunteer meeting or something like that would be appropriate. I think another place that we can't forget about is celebrating what God is doing in the student ministry to the other staff members of your church.
Yep. Right.
Like in your meeting with your senior pastor, in the, you know,
that's job security too.
Yeah, that's right. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
Like I would be, so in my role here at Lifeway, I would be a fool if I never told my boss, Eric, good things that were happening in student ministry. Like when something awesome happens, I need to tell him that. I would be a fool not to. And, you know, it might be job security and, you know, that's okay. Like I like my job. And so I want to have the security.
But I mean, on a serious note, I mean, hopefully, you know, you and your staff are running together in this, and this may be a piece of the culture that you can help cultivate with your staff. You know, if you're coming and celebrating, you know, like I said, I mean, in any environment, that's going to add some energy. You know, so if you're consistently celebrating and the rest of the staff isn't, like in a staff meeting or whatever, that eventually is going to catch fire because people get excited about that. You know, you walk in, you say, y'all had 5 kids get saved. Like, can we just praise the Lord for that? I mean, you know.
They'll get tired of it and they'll be like, shut up. I'm tired. Nothing good is happening in my area.
We get it.
No, but I think you're right. I think celebration is contagious.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not only at the staff level, like we were just talking about, but when you begin to celebrate students in front of other students, when you begin to celebrate volunteers in front of students and all of the different combinations that you can do, I think you will begin to hear more stories.
Yeah.
You'll begin to hear and have a better pulse on what God is doing in your ministry. The one thing I would say too, in specific environments, so to your volunteer leadership and to the staff team and to your pastor, don't always just give the celebration moments. So my example a minute ago, like I would be a fool not to tell Eric some of the celebration things, some of the great things that God is doing in Lifeway students. I would also be a fool if all I ever told him was the positive stuff. because there are things that we need to be working on. There are things that didn't go exactly the way that we planned for them to go to. And so if someone only hears positive from you all the time, it'll get to the point where they're like, this is just a facade. Like, there's something that they're trying to hide. There's something that they're not telling me because they're overselling the celebration. And so in specific moments when it's okay to stand, it builds credibility, in fact, for you to stand up in front of your volunteer leaders and say, man, this thing awesome happened and we really struggled and we need to get better here.
Being genuine, being honest.
Yeah.
Which is a hard thing for a lot of people in ministry to do. We want to put on, all of us have that temptation to act like we've got it all together. Yeah. And when you know good and well, I read an article last night about a man that I respect a lot whose home life is falling apart. You know, we don't have it all together. So, yeah, being transparent and honest about where we are is always a key value. Maybe one last thing I would say about celebration along those lines, something that hits me in that moment of talking about how we can't act like it's all together because most of the time we don't have it all together. Those celebrations, to me, are life-giving. You know, and I think it's easy. It's like you said, a lot of times it's easy to stop and celebrate because if you are like the three of us sitting right here around this table, you're always thinking, what's the next thing that we're going to do? What's the next initiative? What's the next big push? How am I going to reach the next marker? And you can get locked into just, you know, putting your head down and driving through the next goal. When you do take time to celebrate, I mean, there's a freedom in that to realize that this is a ministry that God has blessed you with, that he's given to you. It's a gift from him, and you've been allowed for a season to reap a harvest that you're reaping only because he's pointed you out and said, I want you to do this for me for this season.
Yeah, man, I totally agree. Because, man, the three of us are all driver kind of people. Like we, you know, that type A personality, however you want to explain all of the different personality tests and things like that. Like this one is important for me to talk about because it's an area where I struggle. Like I mean, there are probably people on our team that like, he doesn't celebrate anything. Like it's it's always exactly what you described. It's like on to the next thing. It's like, well, we did that. Cool. Now we're this far behind on this. Everybody get back to work. Like, I mean, I don't think it's a slave drive. Like I don't think it's that kind of environment, but I struggle with pausing to celebrate the amazing things. And it's something that we're always striving to get better at. So I know it's a struggle.
Yeah. Well, and I would say two things. I think people want to be affirmed, and I think people need wins in their lives. And I think if we remember those two things, you know, when we celebrate victories, I think it accomplishes those two things.
Yeah.
It affirms them. I mean, I know from the team I lead, Ben, when they've heard you stand up and celebrate results or things that we've done, the feedback I get is that affirmation, that win. It's validation almost. And I think people, it's just a part of who we are that need that.
Yeah.
And so I think anytime we have the chance to remember that, it's developing the people that we work with that are on our team. Man, we have a chance to put wins into people's lives. And I think just that is something you want to cultivate in your ministry.
Yeah. You can be the wind beneath their wings.
Yes, you can.
Or the wind in their sails.
Yeah.
The next quote that we want to give to you, we're going to move through these next two pretty quickly. So what you celebrate, you cultivate is the first one. You want to cultivate, you know, you look on the paper of your values and your mission and what God is calling you to do. Those things that you want to cultivate, that you want to grow in your ministry, you need to make sure that you are celebrating those things because they will grow and they will become more a part of what you're doing as you celebrate them. The next one is culture eats strategy for breakfast. So that's a pretty common one that you hear all the time.
Yep.
Peter Drucker.
Yes.
Gave us that little golden nugget.
And basically it's, hey, you can have all the best plans in the world, but if you haven't built a healthy culture that will support and execute those plans, then your plans don't matter.
And I think we see that a lot in student ministry from the perspective of a guy coming into a church, not taking the time to understand the culture, not taking the time to understand maybe what that church has gone through, how that church got where they are, what they walked into, what's important, what do they value. And they come in with this strategy that they think is going to change the world, and they're having meetings with personnel committees in 7 months.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, and I just think back through the, some of the churches that I've worked with and kind of interim student ministry roles that, that were in very difficult situations. If a student pastor would have walked into that and not taken the time to understand that culture, I mean, they would have got eaten alive, not because they're bad people or because their strategy is bad. It's because they didn't take time to understand the culture of how that church got to where they were. And if you don't understand that, you could walk in and just get destroyed. And I think a lot of times when guys find themselves not fitting in a situation, a lot of times it's just, man, did you take the time to really sense what do these people value? Like, how did they get here? What is the culture right now? You know, I may want to change that culture. I may want to lead change. But if I don't understand what it is right now, man, I will get eaten for lunch.
Yeah, it's the Andrew Jackson effect, right?
Stonewall Jackson.
Stonewall Jackson.
Yes.
Yeah, so the story is that as he was leading troops into battle, he got so far in front of the troops that he was leading that they shot him because they thought he was the enemy. And so the same thing happens in leadership. Like, you, if you move faster than what the people you're trying to lead will follow, then you're going to get shot in the back. You're going to, yes. Like, everybody loves a cutting edge leader until they cut too deeply.
Right.
And then it goes downhill really quickly. And that happens to senior pastors in churches. It happens to student pastors in churches all the time. And the reason that happens is because the culture is lagging behind where you want to go in your leadership, and that maybe the changes that you want to make, the things that you, to jump off the last one, the things that you want to cultivate in your ministry, the people might not be ready yet. And so it needs a longer runway for you to be able to establish the culture that you want to have to support the strategy that you want to implement.
Yeah. And I would say to this too, Ben, you're not really going to get the full picture of what the culture is by reading a sheet of paper. Like, they could hand you a sheet of paper with the mission and the vision and the strategy, and hopefully they have those things in place and their values. But it's going to take you spending time with the people and running into a few things and having a few meetings and going through a few of their cycles to really understand what they value. I'll give you an example. I talked to a pastor friend of mine the other day who just took a church. He's been there 6 or 7 months, and man, he's blowing and going. They've baptized more people than they have. Attendance is up. All of these things are great. But he had his first budget meeting and just got destroyed. And he calls me and he's like, man, what's going on? I've cried. I don't know what's going on. And I said, well, basically, you've run into what they value.
Hmm.
And so what's happened is that, you know, all of the stuff you've done up to this point, they could say to you, man, that's great, but we really didn't ask you to do that.
Yeah.
You know, man, we appreciate what you're doing, but when it comes to this, I mean, you're going to crash into what they really value at some point.
Yeah.
And when they do, how are you going to deal with that? Is it going to be destroy? You know, so we talked through that, and he realized, you know, was able to pull him off the ledge, and man, things aren't horrible. It's good. You just need to figure out how do you lead through that now.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. When you said, you know, things are good, it doesn't mean that the people are horrible.
No.
It doesn't mean that they don't want to go to the same place that you want to go.
That's right.
It just means that they might need a little more coaching, a little more love, a little more, our topic today, they need a slower culture shift than what a lot of leaders want to provide.
And that was my question to him. My question to him was, so here's a question you have to ask yourself. Are you there to accomplish something, or are you their leader?
Wow.
Because if you're their leader, you're going to back up, recognize what you've run into. You're going to back up. You're going to take some time, and you're going to lead them.
Hmm.
Or you're going to barrel through it because you're there to accomplish something.
Man, that's strong.
So you've got to ask yourself the question, why are you there?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, there is, and this needs to be a point of discernment for any staff member, but specifically here to student pastors. You need to discern between when you get the piece of paper or you look on the website and you see this is our mission and these are our values, there's a real difference, like you're talking about, between real functional values that you can see played out in the everyday work of that church body and aspirational values.
Right. Mm.
That they say, yeah, this would be great, but sometimes, yeah, we tried that one time and it didn't really work out. So we say we want it, but we don't really do it. You know, there's a big difference. And when you run into something that is an aspirational value that's been spoken but hasn't been really turned into the work as a functional value, and you try to run hard toward that aspiration, that's when you're going to hit that brick wall.
That's right.
It's like, hey, I thought we were on the same page. Like, I thought we wanted the same thing.
Right. Well, and you know, for this guy, he kept saying, well, look back at all that's happened up to this point. I mean, doesn't that validate the fact that this should happen? And the reality is that that's just in their minds, what he ran into is what they valued.
Yeah.
And they just hadn't handed the reins over to him yet at this point.
Yeah.
And so he, you know, I think in those points we have to decide, are we there for our agenda or are we there to lead people?
Yeah, that's good.
So here's a quick way for you to kind of visualize this. If you want to write it down on a napkin or something, if you make a box at the top in the middle of your piece of paper where you're writing, right? Mission, vision, and values. And then you've got two columns coming down, one to the left and one to the right. And that column to the left, you're going to have strategy. In the column to the right, you're going to have culture. So you've got strategy, and underneath strategy, you have goals, objectives, and activities. And so these are the things that your strategy, what you're trying to accomplish, underneath that strategy, you're going to have those goals. You're going to have those objectives. This is what I want to have happen. Underneath culture, you're going to have values and practices and behaviors. And you have to realize those things are running parallel, but it's like Jeff was saying a second ago. If the values aren't in line with the goals and objectives and activities that you want to accomplish, then those things are never going to happen. If the real practices of the church and your people aren't such that your people are primed to go take action on those objectives, then they're never going to be realized. So you need to see both of those columns and understand the importance of the two running parallel with one another. But no, if the culture's not there, it's going to eat your strategy for breakfast, just like the quote said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say just my last comment on this would be, so if you're in student ministry and you feel like you're having a strategy problem, or you feel like you're not able to accomplish what God's called you to accomplish, don't, like you said, Ben, earlier, don't just blame it on having bad people or no volunteers or things of that nature. Ask yourself the question, do I have a culture problem?
Yeah.
You know, back up and say, have I spent enough time teaching these people to love the things that I love, to love the things that I want to lead them into? And have we celebrated those things so that when we come to the strategy piece, it makes sense?
Yeah, that's good. Our last quote that we're going to give you is, what you win them with, you win them too.
Ooh, it's a good one.
That's good.
So what you, we'll say it again, because you can kind of miss it the first pass. So what you win them with, you win them too. What you win them with.
Yeah, I'm just
them too.
Man, I'm just thinking about a lot of different ways I've kind of said that or thought about that. You know, even you just thinking about church members, man, if you've got to beg somebody to join your church, you're gonna have to beg them to stay at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. And in student ministry, the easiest way to talk about this is if your student ministry is all hype.
Right.
And you have a ton of people coming and you more and more people, whatever a ton of people is in your context, it's different for everybody.
Right.
But if it's all hype and all game and all attraction, then that's what you're winning them with. Like, they're coming for the attraction, and they're going to stay only if the attraction continues. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to continue to have to outdo the previous attraction.
It's like pranks at a camp or something.
Yeah, which if you still allow pranks to happen in your student ministry, that's a horrible idea.
Horrible idea.
It does not build unity. It is not fun. It tears people down. It's just bad.
Right. But here's what happens is that one person pranks another one and the other person has to one up the prank.
Yeah.
And then it's got to go back and forth until the prank is so big that it just wrecks your life.
Yeah.
You're going to run into the same kind of thing if you're an attractional ministry. Every year you're going to have to come up with something else, something bigger, something better. And there's going to be a point at which man, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. I mean, you're not Hollywood. All right. You're a church.
Yeah.
So that is going to run its course. And then when you're left with, oh, maybe I should get real serious about just preaching the word now. Well, everybody that's been coming because you've got great games is going to say, all right, peace.
Yeah, because that's a major culture shift in going from that, from one thing to the other. And so, and we would say too, like, we're not anti-attraction. If you've listened to the podcast before, you know that about, like, we are all for doing an event for your community that gets people that aren't church people in the doors, but we're also all for having a plan that takes them somewhere, that makes sure that they immediately connect to the gospel, to community, to accountability, to begin to learn how to follow Jesus. Like, there has to be, if all you're trying to do is fill a room, then it's a treadmill that does not go anywhere. It's just over and over and over and over.
And it's very short term.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem. And I will say it is a balance, because I think it has to be both and not either or.
Yeah.
Because I think you guys did a really good job with that, from what I can tell, at Liberty. Even though Ben says he's not the fun guy, I hear a lot of stories that I would disagree. I think you guys did a really good job with discipling students and really being in and about growing disciples.
Yeah.
So it's they're not mutually exclusive,
right?
I think is the point. But I think if you are going to be attractional has to be a part of your strategy. Like, here's yes. why we do it, not just. Now, again, we know churches, and we've known guys in churches who, man, they're going to celebrate numbers. Like, that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to hit the list. They're going to make the top five in baptisms. So they're going to do everything they can do attractionally to make sure that happens. Now, that's their strategy, and that's how they're going to roll. So that's where it goes back to values and culture. But I think there's a both and I think as long as strategy is involved, I think those events are fine.
Yeah, you can't do it all the time.
That's right.
Because then, like, it's just, you could say the same thing about important things. When everything's important, nothing's
nothing
important.
Is.
When everything's urgent, nothing. When everything's attractional, nothing's attractional.
Right.
And I think you can also apply this the other direction, too. Don't think this is just about attractional ministry.
Yeah.
Let's say that you are a guy that is, you're passionate about theology, and you love to teach the word, and all you ever do is preach theology. Theology, theology. We need to be solid on our doctrine. That is a good thing. Okay, but there's going to be a time at which I hope that if you're that guy, you're convicted and say, you know what, there's not really any output. You know, we've got a lot of knowledge going in, and I got students who are pretty arrogant about what they know about Scripture. There's going to be a point at which you say, okay, I need to start teaching these students to turn that faith outward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a culture shift. That's a huge culture shift as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you may have won a highly academic theological crowd, and when you begin to shift that focus, you may lose some of them.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and that's a trade-off decision. But if you can see some of that from the beginning, there are a lot of good things out there that need to be happening, but you need to have a wise discipleship plan that's
right.
well-rounded, that can take advantage of all those elements of student ministry.
Yeah. But yeah, the two extremes there. And like, we're not trying to build just a culture of party animal attractional Christians. At the same time, we're not trying to build a group of Pharisees that just know a bunch of stuff and are holier than thou type of people.
Yeah, that's right.
Definitely a balance.
Yeah.
So those are our three culture quotes for you today in our discussion on building a healthy culture in your student ministry. Hope it was valuable to you. Hope it was challenging. Hope you learned some stuff. Hope you were affirmed in the direction that you're taking your student ministry. What you celebrate, you cultivate. Make sure you take time and plan celebrations for what you want to continue to grow in your student ministry. Culture eats strategy for breakfast. The main point there that we talked about was, man, don't get too far in front of your people. Make sure that you are developing and building and pouring into the people so that when you make strategic changes, they're ready to accept and move forward with you. And what you win them to, or what you win them with, you win them to. So what you do to get them in the door is what they're going to continue to want and seek after. So make sure that you're focused on the Lord, His Word. Yes, attraction at strategic times, but make sure you have a follow-up plan. Thanks for listening to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast, brought to you by the Student Pastor Network, the premier training and development tool for you the Student Pastor. Find out more at studentpastornetwork.com. We'll see you next time.
See ya.